Most of what was wrong with Eddie was your fault, she screamed at him. You should have done everyone a favor and died young, Henry. Those in the cave didn't even look around at her. What was this? Had she come here toe-dash from New York just to add to the fun? If so, why hadn't she heard the chimes? Hush, hush, love. That was Eddie's voice in her mind, clear as day. Just watch. Do you hear him? She asked Mia. Do you? Yes, now shut up. How long will we have to be here, do you think? Eddie asked Callahan. I'm afraid it'll be a while, Callahan replied. And Susanna understood. She was seeing something that had already happened. Eddie and Callahan had gone up to the doorway cave to try to locate Calvin Tower and Tower's friend, Deepno. Just before the showdown with the wolves, this had been. Callahan was the one who'd gone through the door. Black 13 had captured Eddie while the pair was gone, and almost killed him. Callahan had returned just in time to keep Eddie from hurling himself from the top of the bluff and into the draw far below. Right now, though, Eddie was dragging the bag, pink, yes, she'd been right about that, on the color side it had been pink, out from underneath the troublesome Cy Towers bookcase of first editions. They needed the ball inside the bag for the same reason Mia had needed it, because it opened the unfound door. Eddie lifted it, started to turn, then froze. He was frowning. What is it? Callahan asked. There's something in here, Eddie replied. The box. No, in the bag. Sewn into the lining, it feels like a little rock or something. Suddenly he seemed to be looking directly at Susanna, and she was aware that she was sitting on a park bench. It was no longer voices from the depths of the cave she heard, but the watery hiss and plash of the fountain. The cave was fading. Eddie and Callahan were fading. She heard Eddie's last words as if from a great distance. Maybe there's a secret pocket. Then he was gone. 2. She hadn't gone toe-dash at all then. Her brief visit to the doorway cave had been some kind of vision. Had Eddie sent it to her? And if he had, did it mean he'd gotten the message she'd tried to send him from the Dogon? These were questions Susanna couldn't answer. If she saw him again, she'd ask him. After she'd kissed him 1,000 times or so, that was. Mia picked up the red bag and ran her hands slowly down its sides. There was the shape of the box inside, yes, but halfway down, there was something else, a small bulge. And Eddie was right, it felt like a stone. She, or perhaps it was they, it no longer mattered to her, rolled the bag down, not liking the intensified pulse from the thing hidden inside, but setting her mind against it. Here it was, right in here, and something that felt like a seam. She leaned closer and saw not a seam, but some kind of a seal. She didn't recognize it, nor would Jake have done, but Eddie would have known Velcro when he saw it. She had heard a certain ZZ Top tribute to the stuff, a song called Velcro Fly. She got a fingernail into the seal and pulled with her fingertip. It came loose with a soft ripping sound, revealing a small pocket on the inside of the bag. What is it? Mia asked, fascinated in spite of herself. Well, let's just see. She reached in and brought out not a stone, but a small scrimshaw turtle, made of ivory from the look of it. Each detail of the shell was tiny and precisely executed, although it had been marred by one tiny scratch that looked almost like a question mark. The turtle's head poked halfway out. Its eyes were tiny black dots of some tarry stuff and looked incredibly alive.